Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Yeah, and the running game was just immaculate. Oh, brother, we got a player. We got a player for St. Dominic, bro. We got
a runner back
there? Hold on. We got something a little better, bro.
There's some real talent.
We got white Travis Hunter, I tell you, bro.
Dude, what?
White Travis Hunter. So he's a DB and wide receiver?
No, he's even better.
Who we got?
This kid is the starting quarterback.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's Shedeur Sanders on offense, and he's Travis Hunter on defense.
Good grief.
But he runs an option, and he's running the ball up and down the field. Game setting picks for the dude. Like, this dude is incredible, bro. This is the coldest little dude I've ever seen.
What is his first name?
He's you know it's the whitest white name possible.
I'm coming.
See, he's the guy.
I think that's the whitest white name possible. What is that?
I'm not going to say this kid's name. I want to. Yeah.
Let it brew.
Because I don't know his parents. I've got to become friends with this kid's parents because this kid's
that cold.
He's going to be amazing.
Get that boy some NIL.
I'm going to tell you the level.
Bro, you're going to have every damn private school over there.
Hold on, bro. I got to tell you the level of white this kid's name is. I mean, white like his first name is the mom's family name. That's the kid's first name.
Like Farrington or something?
Oh, boy.
Like she took her family name and made her son's first name
Carrington.
That's not the kid's name, but it's white.
No, I'm just throwing
this dude is white Travis Henry, bro. And he got 2 pick sixes last night. I know he for sure got one, but he might have got 2. This dude is like a super cold defensive back, and he's a starting quarterback.
This is fifth grade.
This little kid was cold as hell, bro.
Is he tall as hell, or
yes.
what's his story?
He's long.
He's big.
Not, he's not, like, extremely tall for a fifth grader, but he looks long. He looks like...
And an athlete.
He looks like Shedeur Sanders.
Did he play basketball for y'all, too?
No, he's older than Gabe and them. You're ahead of Gabe.
He's a red shirt. We got a red shirt there.
They had 5th and 6th graders together over there.
This kid is so cold, bro. I had to go look. I looked on the team chat. I said, I got to find this kid's parents and make friends. This is who, like, Gabe, I got to have Gabe in the circle. Right?
Send screens for this
right,
man.
Exactly.
Like, eat it.
Right. I said, you can take Gabe wherever you going, dude. Because you white Travis Hunter right now. So I looked up
dude, if he's that, y'all Gabe going to get all the looks because you're on the team. Right. Like, all the coaches
so
will see Gabe.
I looked up white Travis Hunter's real name on the app, right? And so I looked up his parents. I was like, oh yeah, your name is extremely white because your first name is your mom's maiden name. Because his mom... Her name was so-and-so, this kid's first name, and then last name, right? So I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, you good and white. Like, you need to link up with this kid, Gabe. You link up with this guy. Y'all going to be in USC together. So,
package deal.
Yeah, man. But I'm going to tell you what I'm up against now. I'm proud of Gabe. 26-0 win. He felt good about the game. He made me so proud, man, because Gabe is like – He ages. Every time I pick up Gabe, he just looks like a totally different version of the last kid I picked up last weekend, right? So I'm going to tell you what I'm up against now, though, Jason Smith. As you know my ex-wife, your wife, Faith, y'all communicate.
Yeah.
Y'all are cool or whatever. So Stephanie is very creative, bro. And I'm going to tell you the type of stuff that Stephanie does. I'm going to show you. Of course, you guys on the radio. I know this is bad radio, but I apologize. This is the kind of stuff that Stephanie pulls out, man. Hold on.
She's a wonderful woman, by the way.
Yeah,
works for Special Olympics.
Great person. Yeah,
Sane's ex-wife.
Yeah. Great mom.
You guys are successful co-parents. You'd be proud of that.
We co-parent well. This is the type of stuff that Stephanie makes with her hands to prepare for a game, right? You see, like a shirt.
Oh wow, she goes all out.
Monogram, earrings,
gear, and the whole
beads.
Oh yeah,
that's the kind of
she's
a football
tricked
mom.
Out.
She's
ready.
Spirit shakers, watch faces.
She's that mom.
Tonight is the opening of high school football. You're going to see mamas all over the city going.
And I tell her, Stephanie, you can make a lot of money throughout the city making this type of stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's got this stuff. You can make this for everybody, right?
Yep.
Numbers and everything else, every parent would want it.
They all want it.
So I got to step my game up.
That's great, man.
Now, you know I make Gabe a shirt every year, right? I make a shirt.
Yes.
I do, you know, I came out with the Vuvuzela for soccer this year. You know, I do.
I don't know how you're going to top her, though.
Nah, I'm not topping
not
it.
The only thing
I can do, bro, I got to get Gabe an NIL deal, bro. Gabe got to be the youngest kid in the city with an NIL deal.
Go follow Carrington.
Carrington.
Yeah, maybe you put them both on a shirt.
Go follow him, right? Because that's where the money is.
Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah, Thunder and Lightning.
He's going to get it from what you're talking about.
I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking about doing, because I'm thinking about having a picture of Gabe. Like when he's eclipsing the sun, like a picture of Gabe, and give it like a Asian cartoon look, and it's like Gabe, like he's, and have his name like in Japanese or something, like he's eclipsing the sun.
Oh yeah,
Then have my boy, I'm gonna say the kid's name. Have my boy Carrington out there.
You got me wanting to see him.
I gotta go see this kid's schedule.
I'll be out for
him. We beat the crap out of Harden, man. This kid was so cold. I was like, who is number 13? And then like that's the thing. I've got this thing where, like, when Sabrina played volleyball, I was like, Sabrina, wear number 13 for your dad, please. She was like, why? Why you can't? Why you want me to wear 13? I said, because in my mind, I'm going to say, y'all better watch. Y'all better watch. It's going to be a bad day. 13 coming. Unlucky number 13 coming. Like, this kid embodied the vision I had for Sabrina 15 years ago. Bruh.
I'm looking forward to seeing him and your son.
Hey, this dude. Hey,
on this dominant.
Hey, we not playing, bro. I don't know who next on the schedule, team. Bro. Y'all got time to call in sick. Whatever you need to do, bro. We ain't playing with y'all.
He is Andy Sain. Make sure you check out the Andy Sain Show on Bluff City Media. Drop today. Out now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's out. Check it out whenever y'all can.
Go out there and get that thing. He's on there talking about this Penny Hardaway situation, Grizzlies, and much more. Appreciate you, brother.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have a great weekend. We got more to do, including the rundown. 125 third hour, we're going to have Tim Duncan. Not that Tim Duncan. We were just talking about the other. Memphis's Tim Duncan, the one who played 4 years here at Memphis and now is the new senior deputy athletics director at Memphis. It'll be a homecoming of sorts. Got much more to do. Join us after the break. You listen to Jason John, 929 FM, ESPN. The Live Love Memphis group is headed by one Jennifer Carstensen. She's a great person because she's not just out to start a business, and she did it. Built it from the ground up by herself as a single mom at one point. Working, built it up. But she did so not just because she wanted to be successful and build a business, but she wanted to help people, and she wanted to improve the city of Memphis. And she thought her way of doing that is to get people out of renting situations, get them out of apartments. Get them into home ownership situations. That's what her mission is every day, and that's why Jennifer loves talking to first-time homebuyers, potential first-time homebuyers. Call her up, 901-625-5200. Listen, this business can get personal. You know, some of these agents, groups will get real nasty with you if you don't follow, stick with them. Jennifer's not going to do that. You're going to notice it right off the bat. She's different. And then the best thing is what she's going to be able to do for you in terms of getting you into that home or selling the home that you've got for the most money possible. Could not believe what she got for mine. That was a different market. But, man, they've been going strong through every market and expanding now in Nashville. Of course, they've got you covered in DeSoto County as well. So make the call, 901-625-5200. Again, it's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Change of direction than what I originally had planned. And I'm doing so because of a tweet this morning from one Hitman Hoops. Now, we respect Hitman Hoops. Mm-hmm. Who is clearly, and it's Hitman Hoops on X,
respect.
Clearly plugged in over there at the University of Memphis. And fact is, and I've frankly been paying attention because the fact is, as a former beat writer of the Commercial Appeal, having covered the Tigers for 6 years, folks that got scoops, when it's your job to get scoops, you pay attention to those folks. And Hitman Hoops has been getting scoops for a while, and they've been right. And so we're certainly paying attention when he tweets. And he dropped some info this morning. As part of a free Discord, he said he had going on. You can click the link and follow that. But he dropped some tidbits from his free Discord that I thought are certainly worth bringing up because we had talked about it. Ed Scott, the new athletic director over at Memphis, has talked about it because he's now been asked about it officially, and it's something I'm sure he was asking about while he was interviewing for the job. But it's the Malcolm Dandridge. academic fraud. I'm not sure we've correctly termed it yet because we don't know exactly what it is. We just know that he was suspended for that final portion of season one. It ended up being 5 games for academic mispropriety or fraud or whatever else. But we do know that an academic advisor from reporting done by Jason Munza with the Commercial Appeal was fired and had that that firing letter in the personnel file. We know there's more to the story and answers that we haven't gotten yet. And here's what Hitman Hoops is saying. Ed Scott had said it, and I should say that before, had said this week, yes, we know we've turned everything in. We're cooperating fully. This happened before, as you would expect. This happened before me. And so I'm still, you know, yes, I'm briefed on it, but in terms of what will happen, we don't know. But his point was, yes, it's turned into the NCAA. Well, Hitman Hoops dropped a little bit more. Here's what he tweeted, again, over at Hitman Hoops on X. NCAA visited campus in May, started investigating in April, investigating other potential violations outside of the Malco incident. That's what we worried about. Still gathering evidence via questioning. Expectation is that a ruling likely comes before the season. And so, I'll add this just because it was really hot and in the streets when Malco first was suspended, that this went much deeper. Much deeper is what we were all hearing than just Malco. And whether that included more players on the Memphis basketball team or, and this is where the eyebrows really, really went up, other programs at Memphis, other athletic programs under the Memphis umbrella involved in this as well. That's what we heard initially, right? And the fact, I'm going to be real honest with you, the fact that this hasn't been all tied, you know, wrapped up and tied up and put in a little box and just put on Malco, I think kind of lends itself, would lead you to believe, that there's a lot more to it. And I think clearly, too, when Hitman Hoops points out, it's not just an investigation of Malco, it's an investigation of the program at this point. I think back to the IARP investigation, which was in many ways a similar thing, but different, similar in this, that you know, once they came in, they could ask whatever questions they wanted to, and they could investigate whatever they wanted to. And again, perhaps this is branched out into other programs, but what you never want is the NCAA in your home. You never want them. We said it about the IRP, and you gave them that, basically, with the way you did the, handled the James Wiseman situation. But back to the point is you never want them in your home, and it's particularly when you've got the history that you do with the NCAA that Memphis does. They don't like us. You know, they'll get you. And I truly, firmly believe that. Even having been a guy that's had to been objective about it, and when Memphis has, you know, needed that slap on the wrist, or you know, I've understood that that was necessary. But what we know is that any chance that the NCAA gets to make an example out of Memphis, it will usually do so. The IRP thing never had any teeth because it didn't have any teeth with anybody. Couldn't just hit Memphis, but when they've been able to hit Memphis, I'll go back to the D. Rose situation. They certainly haven't. So they've never done you any favors, and that's why you don't want them in your house going through and looking for things. And so here's what I would say about all that. Now that we said as much when we got the news from, I believe it was Jason Munns that talked to Ed Scott, yeah, it's been turned over. We said it. I said it, I think it was yesterday to before. We know the NCAA has had the information for a while. So I would roll with Hitman Hoops' expectation that you're going to get a ruling on this before the Tigers basketball season. That's going to be important because, remember, Memphis basketball is on probation. Penny Hardaway just had to do 3 games, got suspended for minor recruiting violations, but you're on probation. You were already, you know, coming off the IARP thing, and you get the recruiting violations. He has to serve the 3 games last year that Stansberry coached, but you're already on thin ice. You're already on probation. That's why you really don't need anything going down. And Brad, if it stretches beyond Malco, as this seems to point to, that it goes beyond, this could be a really bad thing for the University of Memphis. Remember the way and we talked about it for days and for weeks, we talked about a cloud in terms of that IARP investigation that potentially loomed over Memphis that could wreck you. Now, it ended up not doing that. IARP thing ended up having no teeth. You got out of it. You felt almost lucky to do so. Memphis clearly did a good job in dotting its I's and, you know, crossing its T's, whatever else, and getting the NCAA what it had and getting out of that situation. But back to the point, we talked about how devastating it could potentially be, the decision not to play Wiseman, what it had gotten into, because there could be a lasting impact in what the NCAA could do to you. If this runs deep, if it goes deeper than Malco, if it's a deal where your athletic department is, you know, it's not just a one unruly advisor. It runs deeper than that. And you've got more than, you know, multiple student athletes involved, that it could be devastating. And particularly, maybe not as much for the athletic department, who, listen, you've always got to stick to the rules, and athletic departments, they violate rules. But particularly for Memphis basketball, with the position that Penny Hardaway is already in, you're not coming off of an NCAA tournament season, BC. You're going into your seventh year where everybody's saying you got to get back to the tournament. Quite frankly, you've lost a lot of your momentum. The last thing you need right now is something heavy coming down from the NCAA. And imagine this. Just the irony of this, that it really, it's tragic if it would come to this. But the idea that an investigation that I'm going to say potentially, we'll say potentially, could damage or hurt Penny Hardaway's career started, you know, it stems out of an East High guy that used to play for him back at East.
Right.
That this would be one of your own, the Memphis kid on the team. Right, how tragic would that be?
Yeah.
That this dream, guys, and I'm talking for those of us that have been, you know, covered this program for a long time, been a fan of it for a long time. That whole idea, Penny Hardaway's going to come back and save this thing. You know, have us, you know, like those days of Larry Finch, where the, you know, you're feeling great about a program hero leading it in the right direction. You know, if all that's taken away because you can't follow the rules, is what the NCAA would say to you. Oh, y'all stay in trouble with Penny Hardaway. How tragic would that be, that it's one of your own, that it's a Memphis, you know, in this case, it started with Malcolm Dandridge. Tragic. And so again, I say, we need to be paying close attention. When Hitman Hoops is putting out this info, you know, I know we've talked a ton. Is that roster good enough to make it back to the tournament and make a push? Can Penny Hardaway get the momentum back? And can he do what Ryan Silverfield did at the Asla? We might need to be talking more about this, because this could threatens potentially to derail everything. Forget the roster. Forget the NIL. You know, if you get into serious trouble, and again, it would be more serious because you are already on probation, guys. That's when they're going to double whack you. How tragic would that be? That we're not talking about Penny Hardaway, you know, couldn't get it done on the court or off, and we've all got our positions on where that thing is right now. We're talking about him having to walk away because the one thing he said, you know, that I just remember him as a high school coach at East, he talked about the rule book. It was in there. Remember all the stuff with Wiseman, the 11-5 and everything else? Is that Penny, up until this point, hasn't done a good enough job on that side of things, keeping the house clean, keeping the NCAA at bay. And it would be so unfortunate that if you lost it all, the chance to achieve this dream we had all hoped for, because you couldn't follow the rules, and it was one of your own that ended up doing it to you. So let's hope it doesn't go that way.
Yeah.
Again, you never like it when you got to open up that door and the NCAA gets to come in here and ask questions about whatever it sees.
A couple things on this. The first one is that Tim Duncan is going to step squarely into the middle of this with his new role.
He knows about it.
He's the liaison for the basketball program in his new job as deputy. So it does seem like Penny needs a person, and I don't know if they're on the staff now or if that guy's going to be Tim Duncan, who's like a director of Penny, go coach the basketball team. We're going to be the person who's in charge of making sure that these student-athletes are following the rules, that all our stuff is papered. The follow-the-rule manager, if you will. Like, there's a liaison of that so that the Penny can run the basketball program and that we stop with this ragtag business.
It's just a matter of cleaning up the sloppy. Now, this one's already this toothpaste out of the tube. You know, this goes back to last season with Malco. It's not like you can fix things from here. This one's already out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
It could again. I say could, and potentially, because of the fact that you're on probation.
Right.
If this was
on
a first
basketball program.
If this was a first time offense,
yeah,
we wouldn't be spending the time on it that we are now.
Right.
This could really hurt.
Yeah.
Is what I'm envisioning from what we initially heard. What Hitman Hoops is still telling us, and the fact that the NCAA is still asking questions. Again, his expectation is that we're going to get a ruling.
Right.
Again, is that a letter of allegations? You know, what is that? What, when it comes down, we'll see. But the damage could be greater because you are already on thin ice with probation in the NCAA. So you've got, you know, again, you know, we may not, you know, Penny's future may not be dictated by what happens on the court if something like this goes down. And I think you have to take a heart. You're right. Tim Duncan comes right into the heart of this. The one thing he's got to be able to do, while he's friends with Penny, he's former teammates with Penny, he's got to be able to hold him accountable and do exactly what you said. Penny, we got to clean this up.
Right.
We can't have it where the NCAA, and I'm saying going forward, because
sure.
Tim, this Malco situation is in. This one could already bury.
The horse
but I'm saying
barn,
going
man.
Forward, yeah. yes, if you can get through this and get whatever it's going to be from the NCAA, you've got to hold Penny accountable. It can't just be a thing where you're best friends with him and he's still cutting corners when it comes to rules, whatever else. Or listen, we'll find out. Again, this may not have been, you know, it probably wasn't. This could be Malco doing a rogue thing in terms of, hey, I'm going to go out, I want to make a little extra, and this is the way I'm going to do it. Penny has no idea, but in the end, that's on your watch.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Penny doesn't have to know what went down with whatever academic fraud there was and still be responsible because, again, Malco is your guy. In this case, it's different because Malco's been your guy since East.
Yep.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So ultimately, it's you're responsible for knowing what your guy is doing and nipping that in the bud. Hopefully, the suspending of him, right, that initial of, oh, okay, we caught it and we're going to sit him, is going to help you a little bit, but I ain't holding my breath with the NCAA. That they're going to give you the, give you a break on whatever punishment comes down because you sat him last year, especially because they know they got you already on probation.
Well, and in the past, we've heard of allegations in other departments, and there have been NCAA penalties for, like, the women's golf program at Memphis and other things. The most high-profile one is the basketball program.
The ones that hurt are when you're already on probation.
And so, so they're already on probation in basketball. The other point of that is probably the reason why Penny's like, this is what they're doing. You know, this is the penalty. We have to sit Malcolm. And Malcolm was sort of like, why, you know, like throwing his hands up, it appeared like, why am I the guy? Might be, and again, I'm just reading between the lines after this Hoop Man, the scoop that he got. It's probably like, why am I the guy when this is a bigger problem than just the basketball team? You know, why am I the guy that's getting ousted for five games?
I don't want this story to go down the way it looks like it might go down, where a Memphis kid, a Memphis guy that played 4 years here, you know, could have transferred, came back, had a pretty good season at the end, but he let you down with his decision to do this. I don't want to see a story where, you know, that ended it. That ended this.
That's
what
the,
could have been a great Memphis story about Penny Hardaway coming back. You know, he's got a Memphis kid here, and you know, in this case, it submarines you,
right?
Because of what he's decided to do. But I know that, you know, Ed Scott and Tim Duncan, as you mentioned, now new to the job, both of them new to the job, they're going to have their hands full because the NCAA is going to ask everything it wants to. And so they're all, you know, going to tell you, and we may ask Tim Duncan about this, but again, he's so new to it. They're going to tell you, we're cooperating, doing everything, you know, that the NCAA is asking us. What you can't control is the way they're going to come down on you, and what we don't know is how far this thing spreads. Does it go to other programs? Does it involve other basketball players at Memphis? Again, it doesn't have to be players that are now still here for it to hurt you now and in the next couple of years.
Your future tournament runs.
Yeah. So, again, we'll be keeping eyes on it. Shout out to Hitman Hoops again for the info because he's getting out what, you know, it's in the streets about this. Well, when's this NCAA thing coming down? When, you know, he's getting it out there, and his understanding is there'll be some sort of ruling over Memphis. We'll hear back from the NCAA before the basketball season starts.
Next story.
All right, so we knew Skip Bayless is out, Jason, at FS1.
Yep.
So here's the replacement show. They're taking Craig Carton, who's been on FS1, and they're pairing him up with Mark Schlereth, who's the former ESPN NFL analyst who used to be on ESPN, does local radio in Denver. And Danny Parkins, who does local radio, or did do local radio, he's now out at The Score in Chicago. So they took three radio guys and put together a morning show on FS1. That's going to be replacing Skip Bayless in mornings. Now, they had previously reported that Michelle Beadle was going to be in advanced talks to have that show. That is not happening. The show after the morning show that used to be Skip Bayless, is that one I just told you about, will be Acho, LaShawn McCoy, Chase Daniel, and James Jones, a four-person show called The Facility. What do you think of that?
I think FS1's hurting.
I think FS1 is hurting, too. Here's the other show after that.
And I'm just trying to think of the folks in there that are going to draw me in. And I'm not gonna lie to you, and I know some people roll their eyes at him. I like Acho. I
like Acho too.
He is so researched. He, you know, with the work he does in terms of it's not just hot takes coming off the top of his head. All that said, though, there is a part of me that Acho also feels like he's got to prove to you he's the smartest man in the room. And so he spends so much of a show doing that,
right.
And then how it rubs off with the other guests, I end up turning away. And so for everybody that you just laid out, just personal opinion, that's not gonna draw me in.
Right.
Yeah, that's a pretty tough. And you see what ESPN's doing? They're just throwing their three big – they're even putting them in commercials right now together. They've thrown all their investment, everything in. Their three faces are Stephen
Greenberg.
A. Greenberg. And your boy, McAfee.
McAfee's the big one.
Those are the three. They got them all three in commercials now.
Yes,
they're pushing that down your throat. And that kills.
Yes.
That kills that FS1 lineup.
With,
I mean, Greeny's on the radio, too. Now they're putting him on the Sunday night Sunday countdown show on the mornings.
Yep.
He's also doing the get up every day, like they're forced, you know. Stephen A does his show afternoons after First Take. McAfee, they're just that triumvirate of big faces there and all that money. And they're killing it. I mean, compared to that lineup.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, they still have the Herd, which is decent in middays, but
Herd's about the only one over there that still does well, though, isn't he?
They have him. He's the only one of name that I think does well. That's just my that's my take on
what
it. They have Nick Wright, and they have Broussard, and they have Wilds in the afternoon.
Where is Rome now?
Rome is just on terrestrial, I think. I think he's streaming, but he's doing this. I think he's on that CBS Sports Infinity network
they
had. Now,
that dude used to be everywhere. That's the only reason.
What's really interesting, and I talked to John, I was texting back and forth with John Martin about this today because this is news that affects him because he's got this side hustle he's been doing over on the bet thing.
Yeah.
So John has been a fill-in. They've reprogrammed that whole thing with a new lineup as well, and you can hear it in Memphis on 790, but like Brad Evans, who used to be on ESPN back in the day, they've hired over there. They've got they've lost a couple of guys. One guy is going to go be a professional gambler from that network. He's literally leaving. And then Trista Crick, who is of record on this show because she's a guest on your show all the time, she's leaving that network. She's still going to do radio with Odyssey and The Bet, and she's doing Chicago local hits, I guess, on the weekends and stuff. But I told John, I said, it's interesting how when these guys either bomb out or maybe they make it, they'll have a job waiting for them in radio. Like, they'll be able to go, all of them will be able to go back to local radio and have a job. It's kind of a nice back plan if you,
we certainly appreciate it here. Local radio, having local radio.
These guys get big money,
the power
though.
Of it.
Like, I mean, Danny Parkins left Chicago radio and did it like that fast. Just like, go. Because the money is, you can't turn the money down, I guess. It's that much. But so the bottom lining it is, Skip Bayless is now gone. You will probably see some guys who you may or may not recognize doing the
Where does Skip pop back up at, though?
That's a good question, too. I
wonder if Stephen A will throw him a lifeline.
Does Skip Bayless still have the resonance that he used to?
I don't think so.
Like, his value?
But I do wonder if a guy like Stephen A, and they spent some good years together, looks at him and
put it
thinks
together.
That Skip's at the end of the road in terms of relevance, but says, you know what, that's my guy, and if I put him with me, we'll be okay. And maybe I wonder that. I wonder if Skip's even made the call that they want to try to reunite the thing. Stephen A doesn't need him. He's got a good thing going. His numbers are, especially compared to Greeny's and everybody else, are as good as they get, and so he doesn't need Bayless at this point. But you wonder whether the industry will throw him a lifeline because it feels like he's past his point of relevance.
Well, and Skip Bayless solo doesn't hit me like when Stephen A is solo. Like, Stephen A has enough to carry just about damn near any program by himself.
No question.
Skip by himself,
well,
I'm sort of like,
it's
kind of a weasel in my opinion, but what do I know? I'm not a Skip Bayless fan. So that's the latest on the local shakeup in the media world in FS1.
Next story.
All right, tomorrow, very excited, 11 a.m., we got Florida State, Georgia Tech. It's our first college football taste, and it's real. Florida State ranked number 10 in the country, obviously, and I mentioned it to open the show for the first time in nearly 40 years, of existence.
Yeah.
College Game Day is going to be broadcasting from outside the United States, from Dublin. I saw it this morning. They've got Desmond's there. They've got the crew there. I do believe I've read that Lee Corso will not make the trip. But that Lee Corso, I guess,
is still a part of... Are you disappointed, Jason, that you won't see Corso?
That's a long trip for Lee.
Yeah.
My point is, I guess he is still parts of the plan
absolutely.
To come back for game day. Good for him.
Yes.
In this case, hopefully it all goes well. But back to...
I think that's all Herb Street, by the way. I think And that's not being disrespectful. It's just Herb... That is Herb Street's guy.
Well, what I was saying about whether Stephen A. would say, hey, I'm going to throw Skip a lifeline.
Yeah.
It's kind of what Herb Street,
feels
about Corso. We've been doing this together. I know you're maybe not as sharp as you used to be, but I want to keep you on this money train, on this gravy train for as long. I don't want to let you go.
That's right.
You know, and you see a guy that could probably still use the money or whatever else, and you don't want to.
Not going to let go of him even if he's 89 years old.
If he's not ready to let it go, you don't want to push it. But at some point, somebody's got to say this,
We did it to our president. I mean, not to
the greater good, brother. You just said, the greater good. And the greater good is to probably say, you know what, at this point, what you deserve is
a little send-off.
Right, not folks talking, not Jason Smith saying you're too old for it on 92.9, or folks tweeting about you, making a joke about how old Lee is. Part of it is you keep bringing him back.
Right.
And so that's what I would say. At some point, you're going to have to tell him. You have to make the decision. But I fully agree with you that it's Herb Street's decision.
That's it.
And he's the one telling, God, we got to keep him, Yep. Again, hopefully it goes well for Coach. I mean, again, I've always loved Lee Corso. What I want to avoid is those moments where it's embarrassing for all of us.
It's too late if it's too late.
Not in a funny way. It's embarrassing for all of us, whether it's Corso's family, whatever else, because it's clear that he's not as sharp as he used to be. But hopefully it goes well.
They're going to stick Saban eventually in that role. So continue.
Well, he's back. And that's part of what I was going to talk about is apparently Saban is all in on working for ESPN in terms of the work itself. And we know he was a workaholic at Alabama, so I guess it makes some sense that he still wants to impress, still wants to be on top when it comes to the new gig. But he's been to both the practices of Georgia Tech and obviously to Florida State, and so I'm looking forward to his takes on both as we get this new Nick Saban. We've seen it before in spurts or whatever else, him as an analyst, but this new Saban that we'll be able to hear, at length talk about these teams and everything else. It's really just game day being on tomorrow morning.
Oh, I love it.
The fact that we got an 11 o'clock game. Yes, it's overseas, but it's an 11 o'clock game. So, you know, it won't be long after you wake up and you got Mike Norvell on. Like we've talked about, I would say that, the other thing about this story is that, for Memphis, this matters. This game is relevant because I would want Florida State, as a Memphis fan, I don't know about you guys, I want them to take care of business.
Yes.
I want Florida State to still be ranked top 10 when they host Memphis 3 weeks from tomorrow down in Tallahassee, because I wanted a shot at the best Florida State team that you can get, right? I don't want one that's dropping in the polls or that now folks are writing about ain't going to mean anything, because you know what that is? That's Memphis last year beating Arkansas and Michigan in the battle for Atlantis ends up not meaning anything for you.
Right.
That's what nobody wants to see. And even if you beat a diminished Florida State team, that's not to say it won't mean anything. It will. And it could actually start help you in this – the selection committee tries to pick which group of five champion it's going to take. But now I want it's a free swing as far as I'm concerned. That yes, I think maybe unfairly we've all circled as an L. You just want Memphis's best shot, and keep in mind they're going in with what's expected to be a top 10 offense. So we'll get an idea of how good DJ I always say I can say it, but then when it's time. Ui Ungalale.
Yeah.
DJ Ui Ungalale.
Now,
those last two were perfect. But when I want to do it real, on the spot.
You're on it.
Anyway, very excited to see.
There's been some questions about him, by the way. He is not just some accepted world beater when it comes to that position.
No, I think a lot of people, because of the fact that he came after, Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, a lot of people held him up to a standard of, okay, you got to come in and look like an NFL. He certainly does by the frame and everything else, but he's not. He's not that.
He looks the part, right.
He's sort of proven that he's not that guy. He's not elite.
Right.
Now, he may still end up getting drafted because of the body and everything else, but coming after the big boy, a lot of times that you're always compared to that, and so I think what Ungalale is capable, and so if they've got if they've replaced they lost some receivers. Keon Coleman is in the NFL now with the Buffalo Bills, but I have no doubt with the way Norvell is recruiting that they've brought some transfer portal as well that they're going to put some things around him. I'm not buying into all this. What I've seen so far, and we talked a little bit with John before he got out of here for his brother's wedding today, I'm not buying all this Georgia Tech hype. Desmond Howard was trying to put out a little bit more that because of what they've brought back offensively, this is really going to be a close game tomorrow. The money has come in on Georgia Tech. I think people are really buying into this offense is going to give Florida State all it wants. But I think Mike Norvell, coming off of a season the way it ended last year, remember, they felt cheated. They felt robbed last year. For their chance to be in the college football playoff, I think he's going to have a bunch of dudes that can't wait to get out there and sort of go back and prove to college football that we weren't just a one-year deal that got done wrong at the end. We're a program that's here to stay, recruiting at a different level. And frankly, you know, what they want to do is say, we're the class of the ACC now. Forget Clemson. Everybody's been talking about Miami's resurgent for the last couple of years. No. You know, Mike Norvell's got this thing where we're the top. And that's the statement they're trying to make. And that's why I got a feeling they're going to really take care of business and roll tomorrow against Georgia Tech.
I'm super excited about Saban because, like, the idea of Saban getting to sit in on, like, a Mike Norvell practice and then talk about that, that does something for me. I don't know if it does anything for you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's going to see it a different way than anybody else saw it.
Like, that he's got practice, some gravitas.
How they're working on it. Now, whether he'll be how critical he will be of coaches and in-game decisions is to be determined, right? Will he hold us up to that Tom Brady standard? Remember we were talking about Tom yesterday and him saying NFL is doing these first-year quarterbacks wrong. Here's the way I did it. This is the way it should be done.
Right.
Is Saban going to be that guy, the GOAT, and every decision that's not like the one he would have made is wrong, and so he's coming down hard on you? I think that's part of the part of the draw, quite frankly, to see if he's going to be tough on coaches or if it's all going to be everybody's good.
Yep.
You know, give him a lifetime contract. I don't think we're going to get that Nick Saban because he's just never bought into, you know, having to do the coach speak, be positive all the time. If he's feeling a certain kind of way, he's going to tell you that. So excited about tomorrow, not just the 11 o'clock kickoff in Dublin between number 10 Florida State and Georgia Tech, but also about game day running before it. And, again, a little history note for the first time ever, game day outside of the country.
Next story.
All right, so last night, and I don't know, I don't want to speak for you, after you got CJ, you know, cleared and we found out about the sprain and we went through our medicals, we got home, we checked into our house and kind of settled in for the Democratic National Convention, but I did, and I was waiting to see Beyonce, because all day, including TMZ, by the way, TMC claimed
Y'all had
Beyonce,
me hyped that some secret guest was coming.
John talked about it and said
it could be Taylor Swift. I remember it very well.
TMZ came out and reported that those rumors were true, that Beyonce was going to be there. They had circulated it for days. It peaked on Thursday with their report. Shortly after the report, Beyonce's representative told The Hollywood Reporter the report of a performance is untrue, and last night, sure as you know it, she did not perform. We did get Kerry Washington on stage with her former co-star. We did get all of the stars this week, including Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden. We had Bill Clinton himself was on stage. But no Beehive, no Queen Bee, no Beyonce last night. Were you disappointed?
We were playing her music, so we were okay with that. I hadn't gotten myself hyped. The first I had heard of it, and I've been tuned in for both conventions. But the first I'd heard of big guest was John bringing it up to me yesterday. I hadn't gotten caught up in the buzz, and so anyway, my point being,
I missed Oprah.
Don't miss Oprah.
My God,
that of this week, she was fantastic. Kamala Harris.
How did I miss? She's something.
No, I didn't have my expectations high I'm going to lie to you. My expectations were, okay, this is the final night. How's Kamala going to top what the Obamas? How's she going to?
Yeah, Walls, she did good.
Walls, I thought, was fantastic.
Yeah, he was amazing.
So my thoughts
really
were
good.
All about, Kamala and the need to be presidential and at least sway some people who maybe not believe that you can be such, right? Strong, everything else, But more so, you're going to be able to top those speeches that came before you because it had been a pretty live convention, to your point, beforehand with the performers. John Legend, Sheila E. were out there.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. And what was John's song that he keeps singing that he had never heard before?
Keep on rocking in the free world. In fact, we were texting back at that this morning because it was in the car radio.
How did he not hear that, by the way?
That's how old I am? I thought that song was ubiquitous.
I figured his mama played it around him growing up, and you'd hear it at some point.
A new song for him.
We won't get all political on y'all, I thought Kamala did come off as very presidential last night. So I did get a chance to catch the end of that.
Yep.
Next story.
All right, moving on now. I want to tell you, your Chicago Bears are 4-0 in the preseason.
I've heard.
But it's not that I want to talk about. It's the case of one Velus Jones Jr. Now, some of you all have probably never heard of him because he's been in the NFL since 2022. But some of you, Tennessee fans, probably remember the former USC transfer coming over, having some pretty good, decent second year at Tennessee, decent enough that he was special teams player of the year, I think, in the SEC, and he was a pretty good receiver as well. Gets drafted 2022. By the Chicago Bears. It's Ryan Poles, his third pick. He had two in the second round. One in the third takes Velus Jones. And up until this point, he has done nothing. absolutely nothing in the league during the regular season. He's reached a point, if any of you all watching Hard Knocks, you probably know this already, where they've moved him from wide receiver to running back because they're trying to find him a position on this team, this former Tennessee Vols receiver. Ryan Poles spent a third-round pick on him. It's not working out receiver. Oh, by the way, I mean, the Bears got DJ, Keenan Allen, Romo. They're loaded at that position, and there's no way up.
Nowhere.
For Velus Jones. Tyler Scott's a good speedy receiver that they got. Like, there's no way up. So they moved him to running back. They're trying to see if he can stick there.
Yep.
And last night, I've been saying, I'll just be honest with you as a Bears fan, cut him. Because so far he hasn't proved that he's worth the third-round pick that Ryan Poles spent on him. Tennessee fans probably hate me for that. That said, dude, I got to hand it to him. Last night, man, he is trying so hard to make this team. He ends up running Bears beat KC. No starters played, sure. But he ends up running for 111 yards on, I don't know, 10, 11 carries and a touchdown. He had two special teams tackles, two receptions as well. Dude, he's doing it. This former Tennessee dude's doing everything he can to make this team this year. I think he's going to come up short. I do not think he's going to make – I don't know. It's just so you would have to be, he'd have to be the fourth or fifth string running back at this point. But the Bears coaching staff has clearly tried to help justify the pick that was Velus Jones' third rounder again back in 2022. When Ryan Poles drafted him, I had high hopes whether he was going to be the next Devin Hester or maybe a receiver, a slot receiver, fast slot receiver. I had high hopes, but he has not proven that he can do it in the regular season. Last night, dude, it will be that way throughout the rest of the weekend for the NFL as we wrap up preseason this week. You are going to have so many guys given the last. Did you see Casey's running back,
guy
that holds alligator? Like, it's that time of year for these guys that are right on the cut line, and they are I'm talking about, putting their life on the line.
Killing
one
each other.
Final time, hoping to make these squads as they get cut down to 53. And so last night there was a story within the story. Could talk about Caleb Williams and Bears' expectations. Y'all know we didn't talk about it too much. But
I don't think you're talking about it too
Velus's
much.
Velus' story was emblematic of one that will be going through the NFL, reverberating through the NFL and games everywhere as guys try to make the make that final cut.
I don't think you're talking too much about the Bears.
Because we're one of the NFL's big storylines.
It is.
This year.
They are the king and queen of the league right now because of Hard Knocks, and Chicago's a big market.
I don't know about king and queen.
Well,
but we are one. I mean,
it's a big team.
You don't in the NFC. There aren't a ton of juicy storylines already. Is Philly going to come back? Is Detroit a true contender?
Minnesota just lost their quarterback.
But that's what I'm saying. You got those three, and that's where else are the storylines? Again, maybe the Rams will emerge back. There are some teams that you could point to, but Green Bay obviously proved in the playoffs that this might be real. But the Bears, the franchise that's never had a 4,000-yard quarterback, a guy throw for 4,000, you got the number one pick. All eyes are on Caleb Williams, the former Heisman Trophy winner. Like, I didn't know. They are a true NFL story, and the NFL, don't forget, is king.
Yeah.
The NFL market, the game itself is king. You can't talk enough NFL. In this case, yes, I get to talk a little bit about more about my Bears because they are in good position.
I stepped out for a little bit, and Dennis was in here yesterday, but I don't think you've touched on this Torrey Taylor guy that they drafted because it was in the last Hard Knocks, and they featured the guy from Iowa they drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah, Australian punter. But don't call him like Aussie names. Don't call him Crocodile. He
doesn't like you messing or playing around with
it. No, because you got to imagine, since he got to America over at Iowa, he got the scholarship over at Iowa. He's probably heard that
every day of his American life. Says that
every time an American hears his accent,
right?
He probably goes, oi, 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 Aussie. Give it to me. So he probably makes him sick up to this point, right? Typical Americans, you stereotype what I sound like.
He is unbelievable, though.
Dude, he was Iowa's best offensive player, the punter.
And the football team says that, too, not just us. Like, when they go to the sideline in this Hard Knocks, you've got Caleb Williams dapping up this guy, and he doesn't need to do all that.
No, what I love, though, in the Hard Knocks reveal, you're right, I hadn't touched on it, but I had intended to after Hard Knocks on Tuesday. He might have as much moxie, as much swag as Caleb Williams does, just in the sense that if you saw that game, he went to Caleb Williams, and this would have been the Cincinnati game where the Bears offense had stalled the first few drives.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes and sits next to Caleb Williams, who on draft day texted this punter, Torrey Taylor, is that his name?
Torrey Taylor.
Texted this punter.
Torrey Taylor.
And said, hey, man, you're not going to be punting much.
Right, joking around.
You know, coming here, but frankly, our offense is going to be so high.
Yeah, we're going to be scoring touchdowns.
He sat down next to Caleb during this game after the Bears had punted three straight times and said, you know, we just punted three straight times. Like, he gave it back to Caleb.
He was giving it back to him.
And so, dude, and you see how big he is?
He's 6'4".
He's huge.
He's massive, and he's broad. He's 230, 240.
We've also made him our holder. I don't know.
Yes, I studied that, too.
And he's got some good hands. He was catching the rain.
I shouldn't say it that way. He has a small person, the little kicker.
He makes Cairo look small because he's so big.
Like that
guy. That's what it is, dude.
He towers over the guy, and now he's the holder for him. I guess he didn't hold at Iowa, or that's a new skill he's been worked into, because hey, you got to get the value out of this cat.
No, dude, he's huge, and yes, he's going to be a weapon for us punting the ball, whether it's inside the 10-yard line or these booming 50-60
yes.
yard kicks that he does.
But like,
it's the Aussie football, old Aussie style of kicking that this guy's just above everybody else we've seen.
Every part of the team, there's these wild stories. You got the beard with the coach who looks like a different person now, actually looks a little more hospitable because he seems like he looks like he needs a beard. You got the offense, which is stupid. You got a bazillion wide receivers. Like, I am not a Bears fan. I don't want to be one of these Glamon fans, but like, it's friggin' awesome.
I wasn't pulling for Eberflus, who was obviously already on thin ice last year. They had to make the decision to bring him back, and to be honest with you, he hadn't shown me anything, especially when you don't have a real elite defense. Bears got a lot better last year defensively,
yeah.
And by the end of the year, yes, they were better, but that's the one thing, is that if you're a defensive guy and you've become a head coach, or if you're an offensive guy and you've become a head coach, I expect that side of the ball to look really good.
Yep.
The one that you come from. I expect that one to be more polished than the other side, because that's what you are.
Yep.
And up until the end of last season, Eberflus hadn't shown me that. We hadn't had a great defense. And so I say that to say I wasn't necessarily rooting for this guy. The fact he was already on thin ice, hey, maybe you want a new coach again. So somebody that offensively can understand Caleb Williams. Maybe you want one of these hot OCs, mm-hmm. right? But I say that to say, having watched this Hard Knocks, I think I'm watching not just a guy who looks like he's trying to look like a coach for the cameras, but a guy who wants to do everything in his power to try to get better at coaching.
Agree.
To keep his job.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I agree.
I don't sense desperation. I'm going to try to
Seems
fool.
Confident enough.
I'm going to try to fool some
right.
people. I see a guy that's bringing in Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Nick, how did you coach your high-profile coaches?
Yeah.
You know, I see a guy that's trying to.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pick Caleb Williams' brain. Remember, he's Eberflus, a defensive guy, but he's trying to learn more about the offense, but more importantly, how his quarterback is seeing it so he can understand it. To me, that is a guy that's putting in work and trying to be better.
100%.
And so I say that I've now, having watched 3 episodes of this, I'm kind of pulling for him.
Me too.
Because I feel like, okay, this guy is working.
Yep.
He's trying, at least. I know he's putting in the required work, and he's not just trying to act like a head coach in those terms. And so that's I'm pulling for Eberflus. Hopefully it all comes together.
Final thing on this. Who is the lockdown corner? Because the corners are good too now, right?
Jalen Johnson.
Johnson's, he's stopping these
He switched
these
to number one. He took Justin Fields' number, and he didn't make the NFL top 100, so he feels disrespected.
Oh, they're good on both sides of the ball with that guy.
He just got his money, and so he's we're hoping for that. There's not a let off that you get sometimes after some of these guys get
Congrats
their money.
Congrats to you and your team, brother.
Yeah, stop crowning. Yeah, next week you'll be saying, "Oh, you're too giddy about it." You've been playing me on these Bears. One week it's too much for you. Next week, Jason, you can't talk enough about them.
Listen,
they're one of the best stories in the league.
I'm paying attention.
Y'all better be.
I'm paying attention. Plus, I heard it this morning, Michelle on the morning show, because they're doing this bachelorette thing, because she's like me. She doesn't have a team because she was a St. Louis person. We're out here kind of just trying to get schooled.
Does she like purses?
I think she likes purses.
You can jump on with the Bears and Caleb Williams.
I forgot he's got his purse out there. He's got everything. $25 million
Tell her we're her team.
Yeah.
Come on and join.
America's team now. Jump on from the Cowboys.
Jump on the bandwagon. We got room. No question about it. We got more to do. I want to talk. We said we would get to it yesterday. We never did. There is a new Netflix documentary out about the murder of former Titans quarterback Steve McNair. I want to talk about how that left me feeling. It's also something else I watched on Netflix recently that we'll discuss when we get back. Hour number three, we got Tim Duncan, the new senior deputy athletics director over at Memphis, and a Tiger already. He's coming back home, hired by Ed Scott in that position. We're going to get a chance to talk to him, hopefully, at 1:25. So plenty more to come. You're listening to Jason and John, 929 FM, ESPN.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.